Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through the Acts of the Apostles, that tremendous story of the unfolding of the life of the church, and it's the place we need to return to again and again. The church, of course, brings us back to these readings annually in the season between, you know, the celebration of Easter and the celebration of Pentecost, and at other times during the year as well. But friends, I would encourage you, if you've never read through the Acts of the Apostles from beginning to end, to take the time to do it. It's not that long. You know, one of the ways you can do it, there's some fantastic audio recordings of the different books in the Bible that you could just get on YouTube, and they're free. And I don't know how to pronounce his name, but there's a British, famous British actor, spell his last name S-U-C-H-E-T. He played Hercule Poirot, the inspector, famous inspector. And he's Catholic. He's got just an amazing voice. And many of the books of the Bible, he's done readings of. And I'm sure that I know he has one of the Acts of the Apostles as well. So if you have a hard time reading, seeing for various reasons, you can, sometimes what I'll do, I'll hold the Bible and kind of follow along as it's being read. And if I want to pause, I stop, just hit the pause button, think about something. Because sometimes when you're reading the Word of God, don't just whip through it, but, you know, read through it slowly. Think about the context and the words. Sometimes even reading it out loud can be helpful. And you'll find at various points, if your heart's in tune, at certain places or verses, words, situations, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. He'll stir you to stop and listen and chew on it for a while in moments like that. Now, remember, this word is unlike any other. These pages are unlike any other. I mean, they're just print like every other print book, but these words are breathed by God himself. The author intended them, the Holy Spirit intended them, and God speaks to us in a unique way through this authoritative word. It's the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut right to the core of our heart, and God will speak to us through this. And the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the letter by itself a dead letter, apart from the breath of the Holy Spirit that's on it, and the Spirit that's in you will animate dimensions of the word at various times when you're reading through it, meditating on it, and the Lord will bring it to your attention. That's when it's worth having a little bit of a journal alongside or something, and write down some of the key verses that pop up. And you can ask the Lord, say, Lord, because this is content of God's conversation with you, the beginning of the conversation he wants to have with you on a regular basis. He wants to talk to you about who he is. He wants to talk to you about who you are. He wants to talk to you about the condition of life around you. He wants you to have his mind. He wants you to understand his calling in your life and the hope that he wants to give you. And there's nothing like engaging the word of God that can help that come alive. Because again, some of the saints, it was St. Jerome said, ignorance of scriptures, ignorance of Christ. There's a lot of ignorance of Christ among the baptized. I gave an example just, I think maybe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, this study that was done and Catholics polled and self-identified Catholics polled saying, you know, that yes, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. Well, that's to not know Jesus. To say that is to not know who Jesus is. There's another one, same study about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a force, but not a personal being. Well, what's in, now these are, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I wouldn't think twice about it if someone who's not a Catholic, not baptized, is not a Christian at all, was given that statement, and that's how they answered it. They said, yes, that's true. The Holy Spirit is a force, like a spiritual force, like, you know, Star Wars or something, but he's not a personal being. But to be a Catholic and to say that is crazy. To be a Christian and to say that is crazy. It's to not know one of the foundational pillars of your faith. It's right there in the creed, right? He's a third person of the Trinity. And to be Christian means to be christened. Christened with what? Christened, it's another word for anointing. Anointing, what is this? The Holy Spirit. That's what we're seeing the apostles talk about in the readings that we've been going through. They're being led by the Spirit. To be Christian is to be made alive in the Spirit, to be animated by the Spirit, to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit. That's the Christian life. And growing in awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that's what Christian maturity is about, because it's the Holy Spirit who leads the mission, who empowers us, who equips us with spiritual gifts. It's the Holy Spirit that begins to work in us to bear the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to walk out the Sermon on the Mount, you know, to live the Beatitudes in our lives. He's the one who helps us become poor in spirit and to mourn and to be meek and to hunger and thirst for righteousness and to be pure in heart, to be merciful, to be peacemakers, to be willing to take a hit for the kingdom of God when men ridicule, to love people who hate us. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so to say that the Holy Spirit is not a personal being, despite what the church clearly teaches, is to miss it. But here's how many people responded. These were self-identified Catholics. Here's what they said. They answered to that statement, the Holy Spirit is a force, but not a personal being. 72% of Catholics agreed with that and said, yes, they answered, that's true. And then another 11% of Catholics said they just didn't know. So that means 83% of the Catholics who were in this poll, a large poll, and these are self-identified Catholics, 83% had no clue about who the Holy Spirit is. That means, unlike Peter, who said, what I have, I give you, you know, when he healed the man at the gate beautiful, he knew. He knew, he experienced on the day of Pentecost the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. And Peter's now being a witness. We're working our way through it in Acts chapter 3, where he's proclaiming the truth to a whole gathering of Jewish men who are in the temple, and they just saw this man who they'd seen for years, every day at the gate beautiful, a beggar, walking for the first time, walking because he was healed. And then Peter's telling them what happened. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Yesterday's program is archived there, or you can download the Renewal Ministries app, which is the best way to get everything that we're producing. It'll be at your fingertips whenever you want it, whenever it's convenient for you, because this show, for example, is on pretty early in the morning, and so lots of people don't really get a chance to hear it in a convenient way, but just download that, and that'll make it possible for you. So I'm going to go back to chapter 3 now of Peter's proclamation, and he had just finished calling those who were listening to him, these Jewish men, calling them to repentance, to change their lives, that they had a hand in the crucifixion of Jesus. Peter said, you thought you were in the madness of the moment, you demanded, you know, Barabbas, a criminal, in place of Jesus, and you wanted Jesus crucified. And he was crucified. He was delivered up. And you saw it, and Peter said, we're witnesses to everything that happened. And he said, but I want you to know that you killed the author of life. He was not a criminal. He's the holy and righteous one, the Son of God, God's servant. Can you imagine? It's just hard for us to be standing, imagine standing in that crowd in the Jewish temple to hear what Peter's saying. And then Peter said, but you acted in ignorance, brethren, as did the rulers, essentially, that insisted upon it, using their authority to make sure it happened. He said, but God foretold this from the prophets. The prophets told us, and if we could look back and just see it in Isaiah, Jeremiah, others, we can hear the prophets saying that the Messiah we're all waiting for wasn't going to just come in and sweep away the Romans. Yes, the Messiah would come to save us, but what he's coming to save us from is from our sin and our rebellion and our separation from God. And so Peter would say then, repent, therefore, and turn again so that your sins may be blotted out. This is the central message of the church. Come and turn to God. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just because come, he's going to give you, you know, he's going to enhance your life. He's going to, you know, bless you, give you money. He's going to whatever. I mean, God does bless us with various kinds of things. And if he does, fantastic. But the core is this. The church is saying, come, come. The one who died is alive again. And we all crucified him in the sense that we're all sinners and we've all denied him in many ways. But come now and turn to him. That's what it means to repent, to turn to the Lord and to give your heart to him, Peter said, so that times of refreshing may come to you in the presence of the Lord. That's exactly what we should be saying today everywhere. This is what new evangelization is meant to be. This is what it looks like, sounds like, feels like. It's the presence, the refreshing presence of God will pour into the hearts of those who repent and turn to the Lord, give their life to Him, and be baptized into the Lord. And He said, so that what? So that He may send the Christ. That's the anointed, appointed for you, that is Jesus. God the Father wants to send His Son to you. He wants to send the Holy Spirit. He wants you to become a temple of the living God. He wants to manifest to your heart the reality and majesty of who Jesus is. He wants you to be a part of His body. He wants to bring you from death to life. That's what Peter's talking about. And Peter knows this firsthand, and he's communicating what he knows. And he said, this Jesus whom heaven and earth must receive until the time of establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet from your brethren as He raised me up. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Now he's quoting Moses here. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came afterwards also proclaimed these very days, the days that they're in right now, the days Peter's talking about, the stuff that's happening right now. Moses talked about it and prepared us for it. Samuel did. And look what Moses said. Moses said that God will send one. And if somehow to anyone who turns away from him and they don't listen, they will be destroyed from the people. Look at how strong and how hard and clear his message is. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those that came afterwards also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God gave to your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your posterity shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. Peter proclaims the meaning of what's happening. He said, this is what's happening, and it's exactly what was prophesied from Moses, from Samuel, from all the prophets to this moment. To do what? To bless you, to turn you away from your wickedness and to turn you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to free you from your sins. This is the central proclamation of the Catholic Church and of the Christian people. This is it. Authentic renewal, faithfulness, fidelity. This is what it looks like. This is what the mission looks like. The mission of the Catholic Church isn't to just go be nice or to be the world's social workers or to fix the world even. We're meant to be involved in all that authentically moves ahead human good, for sure. But what the church lives for and what she's been sent by the Lord himself for and she will be held accountable for is what Peter's describing right here. This Jewish man to these other Jewish people, these Jewish men in the Jewish temple in the city of Israel. Let's tune in again tomorrow. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.